Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. There is a tendency sometimes with some Christians, with some churches, to emphasize things that are not really correct. And sometimes they'll emphasize them related to things like salvation. You might hear something like, you need to do something along with accepting Jesus to be saved. Now, there are people on the internet who are not going to like my next statement. Sometimes people say you have to give up sin to be saved. And if you're saved, be prepared to give up sin or you won't be saved. That is not true. Now, God doesn't like sin. He hates sin. And if you are a Christian, God will take you out of sin. But to be saved, sin has nothing to do with it. Well, I remember shortly before I got saved, I spoke to a guy who approached me. I was in college at the time. And he said to me, you have to be baptized along with accepting Christ as your Savior. And if you're not baptized, you're not saved. That is not true. Other people say things like you have to speak in tongues to be saved. That is not true. Tongues is a real gift, but it's the least of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. It's the least important gift. So if you have to speak in tongues to be saved, you better have all the other gifts also. And nobody has all of them. So we have to understand what it means to be saved. But really, it's not that they don't understand what it means as far as their eternity goes. Sometimes these mistakes happen because people don't understand how salvation works. If I don't understand how salvation works, then I'm going to want to bring things in and insist on them as being part of my salvation. And usually that includes something about sin. People think that sin sends people to hell. Sin sends no one to hell. There's only one sin that will send somebody to hell, and that's rejecting Christ. No other sin will send you to hell. Now, there's people who are going to have trouble with that also, because they don't really understand how salvation works. And so, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about how salvation works. In Ephesians 2:8, by grace you are saved. That alone tells you pretty much everything you need to know to get saved. By grace you are saved. Through faith. The word through talks about a means of something. How does salvation happen? Salvation happens by the means of faith. And faith will take you into grace in Romans 5:2. Faith always takes you into grace. We're saved by grace by means of faith. And that not of yourselves. The apostle wanted to make sure because human nature will always try to take the credit. That not of yourselves. In other words, you didn't save yourself. God saved you by grace, through faith. It's a gift of God. So the part of grace, remember there's three dimensions, three parts to grace. The part, the dimension of grace that's involved in your salvation is the gift of God. Some people call that the unmerited favor of God, not deserved benefits from God. We get them because we trust God by faith through grace. Now, outside of the grace part, and the grace part is obvious because everything between God and us is grace. There's nothing we ever earn. There's nothing we can ever do. It's all grace. Sometimes people say you have to change if you want to be saved. Well, my Bible tells me that the leopard cannot change his spots. There's no way for a human being to change in and of themselves. God changes them. They cannot, they don't have the ability to change themselves. Sometimes people want you to change. They don't like something about you and they insist that you change. That's a futile effort because you don't have the ability to change. You might outwardly conform if somebody puts enough pressure or makes things unpleasant enough or something like that. But you don't actually have the ability to change because only place for change is in the heart. And only God can change your heart. And so don't look for change with salvation. Look for salvation, and then God will bring change. And so we're saved by grace, the gift of God, the free benefit of God, and it happens when we exercise faith. Now, God's not willing that anyone should perish. God does not want anyone to go into hell. Sometimes people think, well, God selects these people for heaven and these people for hell. That's not that uncommon a thought. It's completely false. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And again, people have that notion because they don't understand how salvation works. So understand that salvation is open to absolutely everyone. Nobody has a reason to not be saved. Occasionally people will say, well, what about the people who have never heard the name of Jesus? People get saved on the basis of the Word of God through faith without even hearing the Word of God sometimes. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But you can be saved no matter who you are, no matter how bad things get. The worst king in the world in history was arguably Ahab. Ahab was unbelievably wicked. He did some unbelievably evil things. He had a wife who inspired that in him, who was possessed by a demon, most likely. At least she was severely influenced by demons. But the way the Bible describes her name was Jezebel. I'm thinking she was possessed by a demon. So you've got some extremely evil things going on in Ahab's life. And at the end of his life, he humbles himself before God and gets saved. That was remarkable. There is no one on earth, as long as they are living, that they cannot be saved. Everyone, absolutely 100%, everyone can be saved. Now, if we want to understand why we are saved, we need to understand why some people are not saved. When I understand why people are not saved, then I start to understand how salvation works. People are not saved for one very simple reason. In Matthew 7:22, we have an explanation of this. Jesus is talking about the things that are going to come when the unsaved stand before him. And it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophesied can mean the Old Testament version where you'd speak the future, or in the New Testament, it means to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God. So haven't we preached in your name? Can you imagine that? Somebody standing before God, they were a preacher, and they say, haven't we preached in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That's the key right there. I never knew you. Now, we don't use science to evaluate the Bible. Science is not superior, it's inferior to the Bible. The Bible is superior to science. However, science can give us a lot of help in understanding what the Bible is saying. Never is a time reference. Keep that in mind. Never is a time reference. There was no place in time where I knew you, Jesus is saying. That's why they were not saved. There was not one moment in time, and remember, God can see all of time at the same moment. There is never a moment in time where they simply believed him, where he knew them. Now, why did he not know them? Because whatever is not of faith is sin. That's Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. The blood of Christ removes all sin in Revelation 1:5. And in Psalm 103:12, it removes it as far as the east is from the west. And Einstein showed us, and he was a great physicist, that when you're talking about geography like east and west, east from the west, you're talking about time. Space and time are two parts of the same thing. Without time, there is no space. And so space and time are talking about the same thing. So when the psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, he didn't understand yet how time works. Nobody really did until Albert Einstein explained it to us. But what it's actually saying, time. The blood of Christ removes sin out of time. Now, salvation is by grace through faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So any time that I operate outside of faith, any time I think of anything outside of faith, any time that I do something outside of faith, it's sin. That totally redefines the way a lot of people think about sin. Some people think sin is outward bad things. No, sin is whatever is not of faith. Outward bad things are often because of a lack of faith. But that's not it. That's really just a small part of it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Salvation is by faith. And so a person who never has faith in their life toward Christ, that person's life is 100% sin. Even if they're a nice person, even if they're a good person, even if they do a lot of good things like these people are saying to Jesus sometime in our future, we did all these wonderful things in your name. But none of them were faith. There were always things that came out of them. He said that because he said, you workers of iniquity. To work iniquity basically means you do things on the basis of your emotions. There's this thought sometimes in Christianity that being nice to everything and everyone and accepting of everything and everyone somehow is good. It's not good unless God brought it. All good things come from God. That means if it isn't coming from God, no matter what it looks like, it's not good. And so these people say, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me. You only did things on the basis of your emotions. But you never did things on the basis of faith. You didn't even think with faith. Now, there are people who will say to this, and to a small extent, on the surface, it makes sense. They're going to say that the demons in James 2:19 believe and tremble. And this is true. Demons do believe and they do tremble. But believing and faith are two different things. We often think they're the same thing. Well, I believe, that's faith, isn't it? Not necessarily. No. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. That means the Word of God is the basis of my faith. If it's true faith, it's coming from the Word of God in my thinking. To live in faith simply means to think with the Word of God. That's the bottom line. Now, there's two things that are required for faith. Number one, Word of God. There is no such thing as faith that's not based in the Word of God. There is belief that is not based in the Word of God, but it's not faith. A lot of people believe a lot of things. Belief depends on you. Faith depends on the Word of God. Belief comes from you. You're the source of belief. Faith has a source also, but it's not from you, it's from the Word of God. And so when I receive the Word of God, even if it's something just relatively simple, even if it's something that's not big or fancy or, you know, heavy theology, even if it's the simplest thing like Jesus loves you, well, the Bible tells you that Jesus loves you. John 3:16, that's why He came, because He loves you. That's Word of God. It's a simple thought, but it's a very deep, profound thought, and it's the Word of God. So if I simply trust Jesus loves me, Jesus said nobody can come to the Father except by me. Jesus is how I get saved, and if that's all I accept, then I've had a moment of faith. That's a moment that the blood of Christ will not take away. You see, the thing about it is if it's not faith, it's removed by the blood. But if a person has faith, even if just for a moment, that comes from the Word of God, Jesus loved you, He died for you, if you accept what He did for you, you'll be saved. If that's all I ever believe, even just for a moment, then there is a moment in time that the blood does not remove. And Jesus knows all the moments of time. And so to that person, He will not say, I never knew you. He might say to them, you only had a moment of faith, and this is it right here, but it was in time, it was something, it's present in time, it did not get removed by the blood, I knew you, I didn't have a lot of experience with you, but I knew you, experience was not required. He said, I never knew you. He didn't never say, I didn't have enough experience with you. If He simply knew them for a moment, then there was something about their life that was faith that did not get erased by the blood, and therefore they will be saved. Now, the other thing about believing versus faith is sometimes people say something weird like seeing is believing. That is completely false. Seeing is the opposite of believing. In Hebrews 11:1, faith requires that you don't see what you have faith in. Well, I don't see God. I can sense Him. Sometimes you can hear Him. You can see Him work, but you don't see Him. Well, that not seen component is necessary for it to be faith. Sometimes people will say, why can't demons get saved? Why couldn't the fallen angels simply ask Jesus for forgiveness and get saved just like human beings can? Because the fallen angels have seen God. And so it's not possible for them to have faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. The only way to be saved is faith. even if it's a small moment, the only way to be saved is faith. Angels are not capable of faith. They are capable of believing. They know what God said. For example, they know they're going to end up in hell. They believe that. That's why they tremble. But it's not faith. Because that sight component is present in their minds, in their thinking, in their experience. They've seen God. So they cannot have faith. In heaven, no one has faith. In heaven, it's not necessary. Now, you can't get to heaven without faith. But once you're there, you're in His presence. You see Him. You see all of it. And so faith is not in heaven. Faith is for the earth. Faith is for people who are living here on earth, not for people who've gone to heaven. They no longer need faith. They're with Him face to face. And so why can't angels get saved? Because they can't have faith. They can believe something, but they can't have faith. Now, even accepting Christ, something as simple as that, is an act of true faith because it's a response to the Word of God. That's why when we talk to people about Christ, we ask them to accept Christ. It's a response to the Word of God. That way people know this moment in time is when I got saved. And there's a lot of usefulness. It's very helpful to know the moment in time you get saved. And so with people, you say, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And sometimes they say yes. And that's the moment they know that they were saved. They might have actually been saved before that and didn't know it. That can happen. But at that point, they know it. And that's important. Now, in Hebrews 8:12, God says that He will be merciful to our unrighteousness. And our sins and iniquities He will remember no more. Well, this works together with the whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If it's faith, it's not sin. If it's faith, it's not iniquity. If it's faith, the blood of Christ will not touch it. It will allow it to remain in time. Sometimes people think the past is gone. That's only in our experience, but that's not the way that time actually works. All of time, past, present, and future, is here in the same moment. We just can't see it. Time is like a table. And you can have a million things on a table and they're all there simultaneously. But if you're a little ant walking across the table, you'll think that only one thing at a time. As you experience it, it exists in time or on the table. And then the next thing exists and the next thing exists. And you may think to yourself, the thing you passed yesterday, that's no longer there. It's gone. No, it's still there. Sometimes people want to say, well, sin is in the past. No, it's not. The blood of Christ has removed it from time. It's not in the past. Thank God it's not in the past. Because if it was in the past, it would still exist. Because the past still exists. But the blood of Christ takes things out of time. And so He says, I will not remember your sins or iniquities. Sometimes people say that this is only true for the saved, that God did not remove the sins of the unsaved. They think sin sends you into hell. No, sin does not send you into hell. The absence of a moment of faith sends you into hell. Sin is removed from time for everybody. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. Literally, that means in the original language that the world was constructed on the slain Lamb. the slain lamb was the base, the foundation for the construction of everything. And so the blood is present in everything. The blood has always been present everywhere. It has an impact. And everyone is benefited by the blood as long as they have faith. And not because the blood doesn't take away sin for those who are not saved. It's because the blood does take away sin from those who are not saved. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if the unsaved never have a moment of faith, and they don't, that's why they're unsaved, every moment of their life is removed by the blood of Christ, and they cannot remain. God won't know them. He never, time reference, never knew them. No point in time did they ever appear before God because of faith whereby He could know them. Everything about them was removed by the blood of Christ. And so they can't be saved. Why does He not remember our sins and iniquities? Because of the blood of Christ. They remove them from time. It's not as though they never happened. While at the same time they happened, they never happened. What do I mean? In other words, I can sin. Yes, sure, I can sin. But the moment I do, the blood of Christ becomes active in my life and it removes the sin. And so God never sees it. Time never sees it. Does that mean I can get away with sin? Really bad idea to try to get away with sin. Because God has a very good way of disciplining people He knows are there and suddenly seem to disappear. And so we don't want to touch that either. But at the same time, we know we don't have to be afraid of it. Nobody has to be afraid of sin. Be afraid to sin, but don't be afraid of sin. And the only reason to be afraid to sin is because God brings some serious discipline when that happens. If I refuse to get right, He'll let me get right first. But if I don't get right, then He'll bring in the discipline. Now, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The blood of Christ removes sin from time. A person is not saved because all of their life is removed by the blood from time. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is talking about believers. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of saved or not saved. It's not a judgment of did you do well, did you do poorly. It's a judgment whereby God evaluates what He can reward. But this next statement is a principle that helps us to understand salvation as well as reward. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done. Now, for the believer, that of course means I'll either get reward or I'll suffer loss. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, gold, silver, and precious stones bring rewards. Gold is anything of faith. Silver is anything of redemption, things like forgiveness, mercy. And precious stones is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which starts with love. And then everything that love leads to is precious stones. So when I operate in faith, when I operate in redemption, when I operate in love, I receive rewards. If I don't operate in those things, that's where I suffer loss. Now, for the unbeliever, their entire life is evaluated also. However, because there was never any moment of faith, there's nothing to evaluate. God looks into the heart for even the most brief moment of faith. Because He wants them to appear in time. Whatever appears in time, He knows it. But some people never exercise even a moment of faith. So the blood removes their entire life from time. In heaven, there are two books. There's actually three books, but we're going to talk about two books. There is the Lamb's Book of Life in Revelation 22:19, and there is the Book of Life in Revelation 21:27. The Book of Life is the list of every person who is alive right now. That list will have names taken off of it. The Lamb's Book of Life is a book that contains the list of everybody who's saved. No names can ever be taken off of that list. The difference between the two books, they're actually the same book. But they're the same book in different phases, you could say. The Book of Life is a book prior to the effect of the blood. So before you factor in what the blood does, you have the Book of Life, the list of everybody who's alive. But after you factor in what the blood does, you find that certain names are removed because God doesn't know them. They never exercised the moment of faith, so the blood removed everything about their life. The blood removed them. And so what is left after the blood, those are the names in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, everyone who's saved. There's no way to remove the name of someone who is saved because they appear before God in time. We can't change the past. Some people think that you can be saved, but if you mess up later, you can lose your salvation. They really don't understand how salvation works. The fact that you had even a moment of faith means that that part of your life will appear in time and God knows you. Even if it appears just very briefly, God still knows you because it appears. If you never got saved, that means you never had even a moment and your life was completely, every moment was removed from time by the blood. And there's nothing to know about you. The reason why you can't lose your salvation, there's many of them, but one of them is because you cannot undo the past. God can, you can't. And so I can't take myself out of the Lamb's Book of Life. If I had a moment of faith in time when I was, let's say, 10 years old, then that moment can't be changed. That moment will appear in time before God and He will know you. And even if you mess everything else up in your life, that moment cannot be taken away. And God will know you. If that moment doesn't exist, then He won't know you. But even if it was a brief moment, He will know you. And you can't change that. So you can't lose your salvation. To think you can lose your salvation means you don't understand salvation. You don't know how it works. You think it's about sin. You think sin sends people into hell. It does not. Sin doesn't even exist before God. Now, some people never hear the name of Christ. Romans 2:14 says the Gentiles, in other words, people who are not Jews, and at the time that this was written, it was really all about being Jewish, because those were the chosen people of God. This was the turning point when Romans was written. Things started to change, where God started moving things into Christianity from Judaism. That's what Jesus came for. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law there is not talking about the rules. The law is talking about the principles in the Word of God. So even though the Gentiles didn't have the principles of the Word of God, because of nature, they did those things that were in the principles of the Word of God. They became a law to themselves. Those people got saved. Let me give you a true story that's an example of what I'm talking about. About 150, maybe 180 years ago in Japan, there was an American missionary, and he was being visited by a friend of his who was an American pastor. The pastor sailed over to Japan to visit his friend. They were sitting in a Japanese restaurant, and at a table next to theirs, there was another man there. And the American pastor sensed the Holy Spirit telling him to go speak to that man. And he said that to his missionary friend who lived in Japan. And the missionary said he sensed the Holy Spirit telling him to go speak to that man also. And so they agreed that they have to go speak to that man. But in Japanese culture, speaking to a stranger was considered very rude. And so they went over because they had to do what God was telling them. And they apologized to the man for being rude. And they asked him if they could speak with him and sit down at the table for a few minutes, and he agreed. And they started to tell him about Christ. And as they were telling about Christ, the man started to cry. And they were very surprised by this. They asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "When I was a little child, we had a courtyard in our house." And Japanese houses in those days did often have courtyards. It's basically an area in the middle of your house where there's no roof and you often have a garden in it. And so he said, "We had this courtyard in our house, and my father would take us into the courtyard and he would point to the sky. He said, Buddhism was required by law, but my father told us there is a God who created the heavens, the sky. That's the God we will worship." He said, "I'm crying because I always wanted to know his name. You told me his name." That person was saved. Because God does say that he created the sky. And nature revealed to them that aspect of God. And that's what they trusted. They trusted the God who created the sky. They didn't know his name. They didn't know the Bible. But they knew that God created the sky, and that's the God they would follow. They were saved. You see, even though they didn't have the Bible, nature provided some truth about God for them to respond to in their heart. And because they responded to him because of what they saw in nature, they responded to him in faith. And that means they appeared in time before God and they were saved. Salvation is very, very easy. Some people want to make it difficult. Why in the world would Christ die just to make it difficult? Salvation is very, very easy. In Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Have faith in Christ, and you will be saved." Why? Because then he'll know you. Then the blood of Christ will give you at least a moment of your life that's not erased from time. And you'll appear before God as he looks at time, and he will know you, and you will be saved. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.